This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Definitely digging that vibe there, Chris. Definitely.
Thank you.
That's a Saturday vibe right there. This is Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bullock is running the show. We head into hour number two. It's still a little bit cloudy outside, but it is going to be boiling hot. Just a quick recap. Royals lost to the Blue Jays last night, 6-2. Danny Duffy was okay until he wasn't. Home runs flying out of the park. Blue Jays hit four of them. They'll do it again today. Homer Bailey against Marcus Stroman. We'll have baseball tonight coming up for you at 2 o'clock. ESPN.com has their fantasy football rankings out. They have four or five different writers that have them all ranked. Patrick Mahomes, the number one quarterback. Damian Williams, the number nine running back. Sammy Watkins, the number 17 wide receiver with Tyreek Hill at 29, probably expecting suspensions. And the number one tight end. And this is all according to Matthew Berry, ESPN.com. Number one tight end, Travis Kelce. So good stuff. Go over there and check that out if you want help with your fantasy football team. It's always a fantasy type of day when we have Nick Garcia on the show, former Kansas City Wizards and Sporting KC defender. Nick, how are you today? I'm sure you're at a soccer field or a baseball diamond somewhere.
You know what? Not until a little bit later tonight. I've been getting a little bit of yard work done just up here at a local breakfast joint and enjoying some nice humid time.
So what do you like to throw on your plate for breakfast? Being a former, being a retired athlete, you still keep pretty good care of yourself. You can't go wild.
A little bit, definitely not as well as I was when I was playing, but up here at Einstein, so I'm going to go for the farmhouse sandwich, with like a little smear and some good stuff on it. So a little indulgent on a Saturday morning.
All right, good stuff. Before I get into the soccer, well, we just talked about breakfast. I have one other thing as well. I mentioned this at the end of last hour. I like to look up fun things before the show. July 29th, 1988, Coming to America was released in theaters. How many times have you watched Coming to America?
Well, on VHS or Beta or
what? All of them, yeah.
A handful of times, right? So, yes, that was kind of in my wheelhouse. I think it was 10 or 11 at the time, and definitely a favorite of mine. Haven't seen it in a while, but might have to bring it out on a summer road trip with the kids.
A great movie for one-liners and things
absolutely
that people reference every day of the week. There's always a reference to be made. I was speaking with Nick Garcia here. Sporting KC, the late night show tonight, 9 o'clock at Real Salt Lake. You know, it wasn't too many years ago, Nick, that this was a heated, unfriendly rivalry. And you remember Benny Failhaber and Kyle Beckerman just really didn't like each other. And I remember being at a news conference with Sporting KC when they used to train at Swope Park, and Benny Failhaber said, we were all waiting for him to say something, and he kind of looked up and said, "What do you want me to say?" And they're like, "What do you think about Real Salt Lake?" And he said, "I hate him."
Yeah.
he didn't mince any words. And now Benny's back with the team. I don't know if that bad blood still exists, but it wasn't that long ago. This was a pretty bloody battle.
Yeah, I don't think this derby between Real Salt Lake and Sporting is what it was. I think back in the day you had the likes of, a Jeff Cassar or a Jason Christ. You had other people here at Sporting on the field. Coaching has stayed the same. But, I think if you look at that rivalry, it was probably one of the, craziest, I think, within Major League Soccer, just because you had this West Coast Conference. Everybody was vying for points. Nick Raimondo in goal, who's now retiring after like 100 years in MLS.
Right.
And, the landscape has changed is really, I think, the perfect saying for this. I think the points matter more than ever, especially for Sporting Kansas City, as they've been struggling. Real Salt Lake haven't been great, but they've been getting results. And I think that's been one of the biggest differences. Sporting hasn't been at home for almost a month. They're looking to come back here in July for some great home stands. And so, this game in Real Salt Lake, I think, will probably be, I wouldn't say a tipping point, but I think Sporting is probably hoping that it's one of these things that will allow them to kind of springboard into what will be a great homestand.
And I always caution people that don't necessarily look at the standings in Major League Soccer. It's all about the points, as you just mentioned. Kansas City needs a point. So if you just looked at the standings, Real Salt Lake in 8th, Kansas City at 11th. But Kansas City's 1 point behind. And, you know, I was doing the math. By the end of the day today, Sporting KC could jump from 11th place into a tie for 6th place. Now, a lot of things would have to go their way, but that's literally how fast it can happen in Major League Soccer.
And here's the thing, too, right, Brad? I mean, you know, some teams have midweek games, some teams don't. You know, some teams, you know, have some homestands and other things going on. So I just think it's one of these crazy, you know, situations, like you said. I mean, you can make some massive jumps, you know, if you win and other teams lose, and games kind of fall in place the way they need to.
We're speaking with Nick Garcia, former Kansas City Wizards and Sporting KC defender. Sporting KC at Real Salt Lake, 9 o'clock kickoff tonight. You can hear it live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. For Sporting, we mentioned, you know, even in the last stretch of games, when they get a win, it hasn't been pretty. And, you know, especially the last one. But, you know, you can say it doesn't matter because you're getting points, but it does a little bit because you want to look a little more cohesive.
Yeah, I mean, and it's really about that cohesion. It's about, you know, making a difference when it counts. And, yeah, I mean, ultimately, it really doesn't matter how you win. But I think if you look at the Sporting KC team, you know, they haven't been able to score a lot of goals. They haven't been able to really hold tight in the back, you know, contrary to, you know, let's say the women's national team game here yesterday against France.
So yes.
Those big differences, I think, are very apparent here for the Sporting KC team. And I think if you look at a guy, you know, like Benny, who's been brought in, was he the best answer for the time? Absolutely. Should Kansas City have done better? Absolutely. But for whatever reasons, you know, other guys didn't fall into place. Peter, you know, did the best he could. But I think the expectation, both on and off the field, you know, internally and externally, you know, is that Sporting KC does more. And I think they have that potential. It just hasn't shown.
Well, we have this transfer window coming up, I believe, in July, the second week of July, and it goes through early August. And Peter Vermes has never been one to go out and make a huge splash signing. That's just not the Sporting KC way. The next Wayne Rooney is not coming to Kansas City.
Sure.
But they'll, you know, Peter and his staff scout a lot. They've added to the scouting staff in the last year or two. And I'm sure they have a couple of ideas for players from Central and South America or Europe that could come in and boost this team a little bit.
Absolutely, you know, and it's a revolving, you know, door, mirror, whatever you want to call it, because, you know, if these scouts and Sporting KC now has four full-time, if they are truly doing their job, you know, they have, you know, kind of a hot sheet of sorts that they can kind of pick and choose from. And obviously not everything comes to fruition, but this transfer window that's about to open, I think, is very important. I think there might have been a blurb out there. Was it Zlatan or Dos Santos? Could have come to Kansas City and for whatever reason, you know, chose to stay there in L.A. And I think it's the case for a lot of these guys. But if you take a guy like a Felipe Gutierrez, you know, who chose to come to Kansas City, who's getting paid very well and getting results, I mean, that's kind of the, epitome of all good things, right? But I think, you know, a guy like Felipe, it seems at times, you know, has a, you know, monstrosity of a task at hand because, you know, not only does he have to help score goals, he has to help in the midfield and probably has to help maybe a little bit more with defense because Sporting KC hasn't been able to shore it up. So it's the give and take. The season is long. We're about to hit the halfway point with the All-Star game and everything else. So Sporting KC can definitely do better. And I feel like we kind of say this ad nauseum sometimes, right?
Right.
But now I think more than ever, they've got to get a result.
We're speaking with Nick Garcia, former Kansas City Wizards and Sporting KC defender, Sporting in Real Salt Lake tonight at 9 o'clock. You mentioned, my heart stopped for a second when you mentioned Zlatan Ibrahimovic because, look, I realize the guy can be a pain in the ass, but I've always liked him. For one, he's just a terrific player. Two, he's entertaining as hell. Now, I'm not sure Kansas City is his speed, but you mentioned it, and I was like, holy smokes, that would be totally awesome.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, and think about this, right? You know, and I kind of equate it to the NBA. You know, you have your New Yorks and LAs. You know, for a guy like a Kobe or LeBron to go to Charlotte or New Orleans just isn't going to happen.
Right.
I think Kansas City, you know, the ownership, the facilities, everything that is here is top-notch. But quite often, you know, guys that are coming from Europe, really want to kind of go to these big cities. They want to kind of blend in. They want to kind of do their own thing. Look at Wayne Rooney, who just scored an unbelievable goal, by the way.
That was unbelievable.
This past week, I would put that up there with Zlatan's, first goal here within Major League Soccer. But, these big stars want to come to these big markets. And David Beckham has already said that he wants to get some big-time players in Miami because it's the lifestyle, it's the glitz and glamour that they're kind of used to in Europe.
When is Miami ever going to get started? Nick, you and I and Andy Edwards from The Athletic have been talking about this for 10 years?
Yes, crazy. And to Andy's credit, he was the one who said, I will believe it when they start to dig and they're almost done. And you know what? He might have that magic eagle that I used to have in the studio when we were doing our show.
Oh, the one that got stolen.
And it might have been Andy. I think Beckham's situation is almost appearing dire, right? Sometimes you hear these rumors that nothing's going to come to fruition, that he's selling his stake in ownership, which I can't really believe. But Beckham, he's struggled like no other ownership group here in Major League Soccer, at least that we know of.
I mean, if you're Miami and you've got David Beckham plus all the money people that he's got behind him, and you're getting beat to the punch by Cincinnati and Minneapolis and Austin, it's got to be embarrassing for them. And for Major League Soccer, credit to Major League Soccer, they've sat back and not forced this issue. They've said, call us when you're ready. We're not doing anything until you get something done.
Well, and it's politics 101, right? And we know that down there in Broward County, they haven't probably been the most transparent with their interactions historically. So you can't blame them for what they're doing. I guess it's what Miami-Dade. But I think it's one of those things where, they're very cautious. The group, and I believe what Marcelo Clowery, formerly with Sprint, is part of that. They are kind of pumping the brakes, and I'm sure they're biting at the bit and foaming at the mouth. But, what can they do, especially if the politicians hold these keys to the land that they want and need? It'll be very interesting to see kind of how this pans out, if it ever does.
Maybe somebody's looking for a little doggy bag that might have some green in it. I don't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what I'm talking. Nod, nod, wink, wink. how it works sometimes.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to go down the Miami track, but okay, we got there. I wanted to flip topics one more time. Again, it's Sporting and Real Salt Lake tonight at 9:00 live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. The U.S. Women's National Team. I mean, yesterday, did you see the videos from Power and Light downtown?
Unbelievable, right? People
just,
are hearing and after.
Just jam-packed. And we keep saying, and Nate Buchady stresses this, and David Ficklin, who's running World Cup 2026, the campaign to make Kansas City a host city, every time there's a national stage to be showcased, Kansas City has shown up. And that crowd at P&L yesterday to watch the U.S. women beat France 2-1 was just off the charts fantastic.
Well, especially for being such a hot, day, it was phenomenal to see all those fans out there. And I think, again, it just goes to prove and show that we do have a great fan base. Obviously, we have Pinnacle out there in Wyandotte, which is, the best national training facility for referees, coaches, and players right now. So, Dave Ficklin is pushing hard here for this bid, I think rightfully so. You've got a game coming up here between Bayern Munich and AC Milan that was supposed to be at Arrowhead. Now it has been moved to Children's Mercy Park, they say, because of renovations there to Arrowhead. But I'm sure there's probably some cajoling just because, Sporting Park, Children's Mercy Park was probably in the hunt here to kind of, be one of those World Cup venues potentially. So big games like that, big watching parties, I think definitely help. They don't hinder the situation. Obviously, the women are moving on, so I think there will be at least one more party, if not two more, right?
Yes, I'm gonna go with two. I'm a homer, total homer, and they'll play England on July 2nd, 2 days before the 4th of July. How about that?
I love it. Absolutely love it.
We're speaking with Nick Garcia. I was thinking about this over the last week, maybe few weeks, but especially after the last two games. There have been very few soccer players in the United States who can transcend across sports and other mediums, who are just nationally known, internationally known. I think Mia Hamm was probably the first biggest one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hope Solo was probably on that trajectory until she threw her career away. Mm-hmm. Abby Wambach was kind of there. People knew who she was, but, whatever. But Megan Rapinoe, for me right now, Nick, is the superstar. I thought this was going to be Alex Morgan's World Cup, and she's dealt with some injuries and things. But it's been Megan Rapinoe, 2 goals in each of the last 2 games. You know her other story. You know, she's knelt for the national anthem. She's outspoken on social issues, which is great. Use your platform however you want it. None of it bothers me. But she appeals to so many people on so many different levels that she's going to be the breakout star if she's not already.
Absolutely. I mean, and you're forgetting Carly Lloyd. You know, I mean, she's been around.
The last World Cup was hers. Yeah.
Yeah, and she hasn't really been much of a utilitarian tool. So I think Megan Rapinoe, whom I know very well, is the kind of player that I would want on my team. You know, she for me, I think, is one of those players that knows her job. When she does all right to very well, she tends to bring up the players around her. You know, Tobin Heath is probably another player that I would absolutely choose. So, you know, those two ladies would be my two top picks. You know, probably Becky Sauerbrunn there in the back. But Tobin Heath, for me, reminds me of a Frankie Hayduk with the U.S. National.
Oh, yeah.
Endless energy. She gets up and down the field, super accountable, super dependable, has a phenomenal attitude. The ball she whips in, just those intangibles, right? But she, I think, would be a great complement to any team that I would create. But back to Megan Rapinoe, phenomenal, scoring goals, assisting, cheering, leading, doing, I think is great. And I'm with you on the stuff off the field. And I'm glad to see that unlike other male and female players that have let things off the field kind of drag them down or their teams. She is, I think, just completely opposite, right? She deals with both things in equal form and fashion, and she's helping her team get results. I think Jill Ellis here this past game outsmarted the French team and the French coach, made the right moves when she needed to. She's putting players in where she needs them to and not just, you know, frivolously putting players on the field just to kind of fill gaps. And I heard the pundits here on Fox after the game, and I agree with 100%. The defensive shape, and I think it might have been early on in the first half, maybe the 32nd minute, I kind of took a mental snapshot here in prepping for this morning talk.
Sure.
But if you look at the women's national team, they had kind of quasi four in the back. It was really five at times.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was looking over their shoulders. Everyone was in position 95% of the time. And again, they got the results. Defense is truly, again, one of those things that I hit home time and time again that helps you get results in the U.S. women's national team. Phenomenal job. Now England, a little bit more difficult, probably a little bit more of a similar team. But again, they've got some time to prep right here before the 4th of July.
And I'm glad you brought up Becky Sauerbrunn because she's personally my favorite player just because I got to cover her when FC Kansas City was still in town before they moved out to Utah. I think she kicks ass, and I think she's she's a great person off the field too. So she's my favorite.
Absolutely.
So we'll look forward to Tuesday, Women's World Cup taking on England, July the 2nd. Over on the men's side, Gold Cup going on right now. And Nick, I talked about this earlier, probably 6, 7, 8 weeks ago. You know, I know they were playing some friendlies, but I started to have some serious concerns about the long term for this team because they basically didn't play for a year. They didn't have a coach. They played, but they didn't have a head coach for a year. They were losing to teams they shouldn't lose to, just like the last World Cup cycle. And I started to get concerns about World Cup 2022. I know it's a long ways off, but, you know, sooner, as Herm Edwards used to say, sooner or later, Christmas is coming. And I had concerns about, you know, how they're going to work in the young guys, what the formations are, why are we still playing some of the older players that we have when they should be putting in young guys. And I don't know if any of that's been alleviated so far in the Gold Cup. I feel a little bit better, but I still have, quote, concerns.
And I'm in that same camp, right? I mean, look at who we're playing. Look at who we've played. Look at who we're about to play in Curacao. You know, not the best team, not the best teams by any means, but, you know, we're getting the results. You know, it's definitely not Venezuela playing, you know, Argentina here and their tournament. So I think it's one of these things where you have to evaluate our opponents. I think if you look at, you know, how the team mix-up is right now, I think Greg Berhalter has a pretty good blend of old, young, new, and existing. And I'm sure that's going to change. You know, if you look at Greg Berhalter as a player, he was a defensive guy. He played in Germany. He went to UNC. He knows what it takes here within the American game. And here's the other thing, right? You have a guy like a Christian Pulisic who can come in, who has shown well, who has, again, proven to the American people and his fellow teammates that he's the go-to guy. But I still think we have to get better guys around him. Defensively, we've always been great, but you know what concerns me most, right, is what happens when Adosi Altidore isn't healthy. You know, he's kind of a beast and man against boys at times. But what happens if he's not around? So our U-20s have done well in recent time in their World Cup. I believe reaching the quarterfinals, they've got to continue to do better. And Greg Berhalter, give him credit, but there's still a lot of work to do.
And we're speaking with Nick Garcia, former Kansas City Wizards and Sporting KC defender. One or two more things on the Gold Cup, and then I'll let you go. The game in Kansas City obviously was great. There was a section in the middle of the stadium that was kind of empty, but as Peter Vermes and Nate Bucati have explained, those tickets and seats were controlled by CONCACAF, mm-hmm. and they give them out to their sponsors or commercial partners, and folks just didn't show up. That's no fault of Kansas City. Kansas City put over 17,000 people in there, and it looked great on television. But for those 17,000 people, when they saw the starting lineup, no Christian Pulisic, no Jozy Altidore, basically it was the whole different team from the previous game, had to be very disappointed that they paid all that money for those tickets and they got the second team out there.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's no different than when David Beckham came to the LA Galaxy, and, you know, it was kind of promised and promoted and lauded that, you know, David Beckham was going to be there, and then he doesn't show up. So you got to go. You got to follow your team. You got to follow your coach. So while the fans might be disappointed, you know, good things happen over time, right? So and about the CONCACAF tickets, it's just kind of how CONCACAF works, and they are a very interesting, intriguing entity, right? And they kind of do things a little bit differently. But our fans were there. I was happy to see on a, you know, warmer summer night with a lot of stuff going on for everybody that we did have a great fan base there. And from what I understand from talking to some guys and some people with the national team staff, you know, they absolutely love being in Kansas City, training here, staying down on the plaza. So overall, I think it was a great, great experience. Now we have to kind of wait and see what else is going to happen. You know, with more international games, Sporting KC, maybe the women coming around, who knows? Maybe the ladies are going to have a kind of a farewell post-World Cup tour tournament. Wouldn't that be nice to have them there at Children's Mercy Park?
Absolutely. And it all looks good for our good friend David Ficklin, who runs Kansas City's World Cup 2026 campaign. Whenever you can sell that, whenever you can put 18,000 people in there for a game, it always looks good. All right, final thing for you, Nick Garcia. When we used to do our TV show together at the old Metro Sports, we would end with our predictions.
Oof.
So Sporting KC at Real Salt Lake tonight at 9 o'clock. Your prediction, please.
I'm going to go 2-1 Sporting KC.
I like
I think, it'll probably be a tie at some point down the road, but I think Sporting will probably get lucky maybe on a set piece or some errant pass from Real Salt Lake. Again, Nick Raimondo is aging, so good things will happen.
Nick Raimondo's 97 years old. We started the segment. I asked you how many times you've watched Coming to America, and there's that line in there. Joe Louis was 127 years old when he lost to Rocky Marciano. I butchered the line a little bit, but
we know
what you're saying. But it all comes back full circle. Hey, Nick, thank you very much. I know you'll have another busy weekend down at Swope Park with Brookside Soccer. Try to enjoy it and stay cool.
Will do. All right, bud.
All right, thank you.
All right.
That is Nick Garcia, former Kansas City Wizards, Sporting KC defender. I like that. 2-1. He's picking Sporting KC, 2-1.
They've had trouble scoring goals.
Yes.
So hopefully they can get two.
Yeah, two goals and 3 points.
Yes.
And get out of...
Or just get one goal and 3 points.
And 3 points.
I don't
however
care.
However it works
just
out.
However it works out, just get three points.
Can you imagine? We talk... Chris, you and I have talked on this show many times, and we've had guests on the show to discuss sports gambling. And Missouri and Kansas, once again, failed this year to get it done. You're going to have to wait till next year to see if it gets legalized. Soccer is a sport I don't think I would ever bet on. Unless I'd have to look at the different options. It's the hardest sport to predict or guess.
Yeah, I think it just depends on how much you know about the sport as well.
Even then.
The matchups as well.
Well, let's take... Okay, so you know I'm a Liverpool fan, right?
Yeah.
So Champions League, the two games against each other, Liverpool was down, was it 4-0 to Barcelona? 3-0 going into
somewhere around there.
The second game? How would you have predicted that? And it happened in the other semifinal game, too. I think yeah, it's impossible sport to predict.
It's unpredictable. I agreed. So.
And Major League Soccer in particular is very hard to predict unless it's LAFC. That's about the only team that's steamrolling. But
or Galaxy. Galaxy is playing pretty well.
It is. It's maybe you'd have to go with total goals. I don't know. I don't think I'd pick head to head at all. It'd be hard.
Yep.
It'd be hard. I don't know how the people that set those. I don't know how they set the betting lines, but that's got to be an impossible task.
Yeah. Speaking of soccer, but in England, you were talking about Liverpool, but London this weekend has the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Yeah. How weird is that? Should we talk about that in the next segment?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. We're coming up on. It's a good time to take a timeout, transition to a little baseball. We'll talk a little more Royals as well. But yeah, Yankees and Red Sox in London. It looks strange. I'll tell you, the stadium looks strange. We'll take a quick timeout. Our thanks to Nick Garcia for joining us at talking Sporting KC. Again, that game tonight against Real Salt Lake at 9 o'clock. You can hear it live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And then Dave Borchert will have the final whistle at 11 o'clock. Late night with Sporting KC. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the show. And you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Groove, got to build a little bit. It's a nice, easy Saturday relaxing song.
Yep.
This is an underrated band.
311 Action.
Actually, they're not underrated because every time they've come to Kansas City, all I hear is rave reviews about them. So they're not underrated.
Yeah, no, they. I haven't seen them live, but would
I
like
either.
To. So,
but I hear them.
I heard they put on a pretty good live set. So,
if I'm trying to remember from all the times I listened to the Border Patrol with Steven and Nate and Jake.
Jake loves 311.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, physically,
311 guy.
In terms of being a fan.
Yeah.
311. I like it. Just wrapped up with Nick Garcia talking Sporting KC again. They'll play tonight against Real Salt Lake at 9 o'clock. You can hear it live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, and then the postgame show, The Final Whistle with Dave Borchert at 11 o'clock. Looking forward to that. Hopefully get a win and 3 points on the road. And finally, bring this unending road trip to an end. They haven't been home in over a month.
That's the month of June, not a home game.
Way to go, Major League
Sporting
Soccer.
Sporting KC for not having a home game.
Load up the home games in July when it's going to be 150
degrees.
It's going
to be very hot.
Great. Awesome, Major League Soccer. I don't get their scheduling sometimes, but I don't have to. So good stuff. And then we'll watch the USA women Tuesday in the World Cup taking on England over in France. That'll be good stuff. All right, we wanted to switch it over a little bit to baseball because Chris had brought up a topic here. Just a reminder, the Royals did lose last night 6-2 to Toronto, and Chris will have baseball tonight coming up at 2 o'clock. For game two of the series, the Royals and the Blue Jays. But the Yankees, I'm looking at it on MLB Network right now. Yankees and Red Sox over in London, and they're playing at Wembley. Have you seen the setup for the field?
I have not looked at any of the pictures. Is it weird looking?
It is very weird. In fact, okay, so you know what a game looks like in the Oakland Coliseum?
Yes.
That foul territory?
The foul territory is huge. It's
like 100 yards. It's even more in Wembley. And somebody had tweeted out, gosh, I wish I would have written it down. Somebody tweeted out, hey, the Oakland A's want to know about your foul territory. I get it. Major League Baseball is trying to market their sport to bigger markets, more markets, European market, the London market. I'm not sure if putting two of your premier franchises over there is a great idea. I'm wondering what the financial situation is because somebody's giving up home games, ticket revenue, beer sales, concessions. There must be a huge payday from London Major League Baseball for this.
Yeah, because having that travel.
Oh, yeah.
Granted, both teams are on the East Coast, but still. I don't know if you saw the video of the Boston Red Sox plane, though.
Oh, my gosh.
It was the fanciest thing I've ever seen.
I would live
in that
airplane.
It looked like Air Force One.
Yes. Yeah,
times two.
I would say it looked even better than that.
Yeah, it was Air Force One times two.
Fancy seats and bars and waitresses. Not flight attendants. I'm talking waitresses.
Yeah, they were like
servers,
carrying like
whatever.
They were carrying like hors d'oeuvre trays.
Yeah, hors d'oeuvre trays, glasses of champagne. I think they had couches in there.
Yeah, it looked awesome.
If you did like a Photoshop and scrubbed out the side of the airplane, like the airplane windows, you would think that was somebody's party room at a mansion somewhere. Way to go, Boston Red Sox.
Well, and the thing is, it's like, why? I know you're trying to expand the game, but how much interest is there actually in baseball over in England?
I don't know. Well, usually, you know, when the NFL goes abroad, they usually get a lot of support from members of the military. They don't get to see live games very often. I mean, on TV, but it might be at 2 a.m. or something. So there's you know, people at the embassy and things like that. Americans who live in London. But if you're an English sports fan, you'd probably check it out just to see what it's all about. You might be bored to death.
I mean, yeah, I don't quite understand it. Just because I'm all about trying to expand your game, but I think Rob Manfred even said, I think Bob Nightingale posted it on Twitter that he wants to continually to do this annually to have a game in London or across Europe somewhere. But I don't, I even think, even there is NFL supporters over in England. I know there are some bars for specific teams, and
right.
Even the Chiefs have like some English followers, if I'm not mistaken. But I just think it's a hard market to break into, just because soccer is kind of a year-round. It is basically a year-round sport there, and it dominates kind of the sports landscape.
Yeah. See, when Major League Baseball went to Australia, I thought that was a great idea. There's been several Australian players in Major League Baseball. That was a good idea. I liked it. Mm-hmm. Australians buying a base when they go to Japan. Great idea. Good stuff. That game they played in Cuba.
They played one
ago.
In Mexico, too.
In Mexico. Good idea.
Just this year.
London. I don't know. Maybe
I think they did. I think they also played one in the Dominican Republic, if I'm not mistaken, or they have in the past.
Yeah. They must have done the research as into how many people would come to a game. Otherwise, they wouldn't spend all that money to go over there. Or they've got some kind of
sponsor, like you said, with CONCACAF did sponsors.
Right.
Buying up a certain amount portion of the tickets,
right?
That might have happened at Wembley or whatnot.
Yeah,
but
I will check it out for the spectacle of it. But I doubt I'm going to invest 3 hours in a game.
But how? What? Like, think of the logistics. How? Like, are you ever going to get a West Coast team to ever want to do that trip? I mean, they're probably going to keep it to the Eastern Seaboard because the travel is just so excruciating. If you're only going to play two games over there,
right? And correct me if I'm wrong, are the games going to be separated? Is there going to be a day off in between? I didn't look at the schedule.
I think they have 2 days in a row, and then they have a day off on either side for travel, of course.
All right.
If I'm not mistaken, but still, I mean, I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see the turnout and see if there's people that show interest in going to a baseball game.
Yeah.
And it's been 3.5 hours, and but we'll see.
I've known people who come to the United States from Europe and don't understand anything about baseball, and you try to explain it to them, and it's like it would be like me trying to explain advanced calculus. It's just not. Sometimes it doesn't happen. You go to a game with people, and they're like, "Why is nothing happening? Nothing is happening." Whereas, you know, like soccer, there's constant action. But some Americans are bored by that, so I'll watch it for the spectacle.
Yeah.
But not the whole thing. And it's strange they do it in the middle of the season. I think when they did the trip to Australia, that was at the end of spring training or somewhere during spring training.
Because that would be their summer.
Yeah. So that makes sense. Doing it in the middle, though, with all that travel, I don't know. But if you're the players, get a free trip to London. Not that you couldn't afford it anyway.
They're not going to have much time to do anything there. So
they got there a couple days early. They've had time to do some things. The All-Star teams are going to be finalized Sunday night. It's going to be live on ESPN. They're going to make the announcements. I was just reading the story about, the Mets have this rookie, Pete Alonso, who's just cranking baseballs. He says he's been invited to the Home Run Derby. I have not seen a whole list of Home Run Derby invitees. But they said I was reading through the story. I confess I don't watch a lot of Mets baseball, But he'll have an extra incentive in the Home Run Derby because the bonus is $1 million. His salary is $555,000.
League minimum. So he just, if he enters the Home Run Derby, that's just an automatic $1 million bonus.
No, he's got to win.
Or he's got to win.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got to win it. And I haven't seen the full list yet. I would think Jorge Soler would get an invitation. Maybe?
Yeah. Probably.
Not just for the numbers, but the, geez, how far he's hitting the baseball, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think anybody has asked him about that, but I would be interested to see if he did do that. I wonder if the Royals would be a little skeptical just because of his injury history. Yeah. Because if he's swinging, think about how hard he would be swinging
right.
on multiple occasions.
Multiple times, yeah.
Not saying that it would happen because it could happen to anyone, but I don't know if you'd want to take that risk.
Right. All right, so I mentioned the All-Star rosters are going to be, the final rosters are going to be announced Sunday night on ESPN. And we've talked about this a little bit during the week. But as we get closer to it, final predictions for, one, how many All-Stars the Royals will get. Two, who will be those All-Stars or All-Star. Could be one, could be two. I think that's about the real possibility. I think they, obviously they'll get one. I'm leaning to the positive side here. I think they get two. I think you get Hunter Dozier and Whit Merrifield. I think has to be a lock, right? He's leading the league in hits.
I think they get one. I think Whit Merrifield.
Whit Merrifield?
Yeah.
If it's only one, it should be Whit Merrifield.
Yeah, I don't think Hunter Dozier gets it.
He's leading the league in hits again. If he were to finish the season on top, that would be three consecutive seasons of leading the American League in total hits.
That's, and he's shown it. Like, he showed his consistency. Hunter Dozier, he's done it over a half season, a half season.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to take that into account too. I think the Sorin and the program talk about it all the time. You want to give Whit Merrifield, he deserves it essentially more than Dozier does, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. There's also another story making the case that the Orioles should have two. Oh my God, they've won 23 games. Are you kidding me?
Well, if it is solely based off individual merit for the All-Star
game, but
you gotta take that out of the equation, Brad.
Oh, man. I also, one more note on the Red Sox, by the way, as we're coming up on a break here shortly. Authorities in the Dominican Republic have arrested the suspected mastermind behind the shooting of David Ortiz. I guess someone else was supposed to be shot. There's a drug connection somewhere. It was ordered by
a huge mastermind plot behind what was supposed to happen.
Yeah, it went very well. You shot the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so the guy they've arrested is, he was in the United States. The Dominican Republic says he's a very dangerous criminal. He was a fugitive. They had labeled him a fugitive, and he came back, I guess. And he has ties to a Mexican drug cartel. So this could have gone much, not that it went good, it could have gone much worse. I mean, David Ortiz could be dead. Now they've arrested, God, there's like, what, 9-10 people have been arrested in all this, both in the Dominican and in the United States? Wow. Man alive. All right, we will take a time out here. We got plenty more still to come on the show. Coming up at 11 o'clock, Scott Phillips is going to join us from NBCSports.com. We'll talk college basketball and we'll talk NBA. And maybe leading into it, we'll just throw out a couple of things in the next segment. We'll throw out a couple of NBA notes. Some of the top free agents are lining up their meetings and deciding where they want to play. So we'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
STRFKR.
All right. Good
stuff.
I've heard some of their other stuff. Pretty good. I like it. Uplifting music on this Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. You can listen worldwide getting the app at 810WHB.com. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show. If you want to follow on Twitter, you can find me at Brad K. Porter. That's at Brad K. Porter. You can follow Chris at Chris_Bohlig. I just looked up and I was MLB Network had something on that distracted me for a second. We said we were going to talk a little NBA as we lead into our conversation in the next hour with Scott Phillips from NBCSports.com. Latest Woj bomb from ESPN.com.
Woj bomb.
Woj bomb. Adrian Wojnarowski. Does he ever sleep?
I don't think any of those insiders are ever off their phone.
Like Adam Schefter?
They have like three. Adam Schefter, I think, has three or four phones.
Yes.
Probably.
I know he used to have like one for his family, one for AFC, one for NFC, but it may be four phones now.
Who knows?
Yeah. So this article written by both Wojnarowski and Ramona Shelbourne, who I have a lot of respect for. Okay, here we go. Free agent stars Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard have been discussing scenarios that can include a future with them playing together, league sources tell ESPN. For now, the only two teams that would line up in terms of interest and money are the Los Angeles Clippers and the New York Knicks. My God, I hope it's not the Knicks. That organization is trash. And maybe it's, and I don't mean to say that about everybody in the Knicks organization. Their owner is awful. James Dolan. It's awful.
Yeah,
he's kicked fans out of games.
He bans newspaper
reporters from covering the team because he doesn't like them. So the Knicks, no. Clippers, I'll buy. Now, each Durant and Leonard had other teams they're going to talk to. I was just, let's see, KD, according to Wojnarowski, is supposed to be wanting to speak with the Brooklyn Nets,
yep,
the Clippers, the Knicks, and the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the Nets, I don't think it's big enough. I don't know. Warriors, definitely. Knicks, no. Clippers, possibility. As I mentioned, they got $54 million of cap space money.
Got some money to work with.
They can get him and Kawhi together. If they really want to play together and they can work the money out, the Clippers makes the most sense to me.
I also saw something with certain teams that are looking at Kevin Durant. They want like a package deal kind of with Kyrie and Kevin Durant. No one wants just Kyrie.
Right.
They want, if they want to get Kyrie, they want Kevin Durant, yeah, as well to come to their team.
Right.
Because they have seen the whole fiasco with Kyrie
and Boston.
And Boston. And even with Cleveland, when LeBron came back and Kyrie kind of wanting to have his own team, but he even admitted it this year, it's hard being a leader,
right,
and being the guy. And if you're not going to buy into a system, that's hard to do.
Right. And the Brooklyn scenario is apparently Kyrie Irving is really leaning towards Brooklyn.
If D'Angelo Russell leaves, which Karl Anthony Towns and Minnesota, they're heavy on his trail. They really,
right,
want him.
Right. So. But if Kyrie were to work something out with Brooklyn, they would want the same kind of package. They would want Kevin Durant, too. They'd want another big dog.
Yeah, and then
I find it less likely that happens, but
Kemba Walker probably.
Kemba Walker is the one player no one. It's not that no one's talking about him. He doesn't get a lot of attention, but man alive, I'd take him in a second.
No, I Kemba isn't talent wise. I don't think he is to the caliber of a Kyrie Irving, but I think just not having the headache of Kyrie on that team and not supposedly wasn't talking to his own teammates for weeks and it seemed like he had some rifts with Brad Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
And if Kemba he is a veteran. I mean, he hasn't really had too many opportunities in the playoffs because Charlotte is not very good. Another team that is had some bad management, to say the least.
Yes.
I think that would be a pretty great fit for the Celtics if they could get a Kemba Walker.
Yep. And Kemba Walker's also being mentioned as a possibility with the Lakers. I think I would stay away from as far away from the Lakers as I could. There's a, speaking of the Lakers, there's a, not a Woj bomb, but a Stephen A. bomb.
I love it. Give me a Stephen A. bomb.
Stephen A. Smith. You know, he's tight with Magic Johnson, right?
I think Stephen A. is tight with everyone. I think everyone is close.
He's not tight with KD.
No, but he says he's tight with everyone.
So Stephen A. is reporting that, according to Magic Johnson, Kawhi Leonard wants to meet with Magic Johnson. He only wants to talk to two people, Jenny Buss and Magic Johnson. However, per league rules, Magic Johnson could not be in the room for a negotiating session as representing the team since he's not part of the team anymore. But Magic Johnson, I could see him as being a puppet master, operating pulling the strings from outside the organization and just making life a living hell for Rob Pelinka.
Who knows? I mean, Magic, even though he's not with the team, like he put when he was a player, like that's his team. Like he'll always have that connection with the Lakers, even if he is not part of their front office. He is a guy that means so much to that organization and how that organization has been built over the years. I mean,
so Kawhi wants to meet with Magic. What's he going to ask Magic? How's it work behind the scenes? How's Jenny Buss as an owner? How's Rob Pelinka as a GM? How's the new coach going to work out? If I was a superstar player, I mean, money talks, right? I wouldn't want any part of that situation. Until they get it figured out, no.
I think from Kawhi, it's attractive in the sense that he's not going to have to labor a whole season carrying a team. Like when he was with Toronto, he really had to. He exerted a lot of effort into carry. He wants to have a number two, someone else as well. And maybe if he goes to the Clippers and he doesn't have that security of another guy that can step up and kind of take some of the weight off of him, then that's not as attractive. The Lakers, you have AD, you have LeBron, so there's already two guys there that. Yes, you can shine when you need to, but if you need to D up, because he is a very good two-way player,
right?
Then he doesn't have to take all that burden on the offensive and defensive side of the ball.
Right. The other scenario I've heard floated is he goes back to Toronto on a two-year deal, and then after that he hits the max contract level where he can just rake it in. It'll be interesting. What, free agency starts Sunday, I believe, for the NBA? I don't think anybody's going to be in a hurry to sign. You want to use all the negotiating power you can. But we were talking about this with, I can't remember who we were talking about this with last time. Oh, we were talking with Frank Mason about the fact that the NBA's offseason soap opera it takes up all the oxygen in the room. When you turn on the national shows on ESPN, like in the morning in particular, 90% of what they talk about is the NBA. And this is going back.
The NBA offseason is, I would say, more popular than the actual regular season. I think people enjoy following that.
You might be right.
More so than the actual happenings of the regular season, just because sometimes the regular season, especially if you don't have a team, like in your market, it's not very exciting. Sometimes the playoffs are awesome. I love the NBA playoffs are phenomenal, but. Sometimes there's a lull there in the middle of the regular season, like in a January, February.
Yeah. And they're already talking about cutting back games in the NBA, which I think would be a good idea. Yeah, you watch the national shows in the morning, it's 90% NBA. Maybe a little NFL until...
Yeah, NFL, when training camp NFL opens, still dominates, too.
When training camp opens, then you're going to get your Sal Palantonios and your Adam Schefters are going to be on 90% of the time.
for
but
sure.
But for now, it's Woj and Ramona Shelbourne and all the analysts they have. Just dominates. We're going to talk a little more about this coming up in the next hour. Hour number three, Scott Phillips, NBCSports.com will join us. Quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB.